The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another week of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are so glad you're hanging out with us today. Welcome to the program. And while we have a lot of stuff going on around the country, we're going to get to the big stories of the day, plus your telephone calls. Go ahead, write down our telephone number. You will need this if you want to call into the program. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, we have a lot of new listeners to this radio program, and I want to set the record straight from the get-go. On this program, we are pro-police. We believe that blue lives matter, and we stand alongside all of those in law enforcement. Now, look, that's not to say that every now and again you're going to have a bad apple in the bunch. It happens. But by and large, 99%, I would say 99.8% of all cops are good, decent, hardworking men and women who put their lives on the line every single day so that our families can be safe. And the things that they have to deal with on a daily basis, it's just unbelievable. The amount of hate and the vitriol, what Barack Hussein Obama did so many years ago when he declared the original war on cops, and it's only gotten worse. How many people, how many police officers, how many men and women in uniform have lost their lives because of the words that came out of Barack Obama's mouth, constantly berating police, constantly fomenting this race war that somehow police officers were intentionally targeting black people in America. And it's simply not true. So here's my philosophy. If you don't want to go to jail, if you don't want to have an encounter with the police, then don't commit a crime. It's that simple. It is that simple. But we don't want to talk about the real issues facing our nation. Over the weekend in Memphis, Tennessee, where we broadcast our program from, and again, Memphis is a pretty good-sized city, about 1.3 million people. It's not Chicago. It's not New York City. It's not Los Angeles. But you may be surprised to know that Memphis, Tennessee, a Democrat-controlled city, is actually more violent than New York City and Los Angeles. It's unbelievable. Over the weekend, 14 people shot. How many people killed? 6 people killed. You've got so much gunfire on the interstates, people don't even want to, they don't want to drive on the interstates. They're afraid they're going to get shot. I mean, how many people? Grace Baker, you've been running the numbers. What are we up into the double digits now?
Oh, yes. Interstate shootings around 25.
25. You know, this would be a major national story. You have you have a sniper taking shots at cars on a major interstate, and nobody wants to talk about it.
No.
And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Thank you, Grace. I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because nobody wants to address the fact that we have a black-on-black crime problem in America. We have a black-on-white crime problem in America, but nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to address the issues of the day. I'll give you an example, and we're going to talk about this Virginia police officer who got into it with the Army officer at a traffic stop. The headline is, Black Army Officer Attacked by Police. You know what they left out? They left out the part about the ethnicity of the officer who did the arresting. And I'm going to give you the officer's name, and you can figure it out for yourself. You're a very smart audience. His name is Officer Gutierrez. He's not a white guy. So they could not advance that narrative. So when they can't advance the white people hate blacks narrative, the media turns around and they go after the cops hate black people narrative. Now, over the weekend in Memphis, Tennessee, the 14 people who were shot, by and large, overwhelmingly, it was black on black crime. And you will have people out there, the activists out there, and they will say, well, this is a white problem. You know, the white man has his boot on the neck of the black man in Memphis, Tennessee. Really, is that true? Is that accurate? Well, let's take a look at the facts. For at least 3 or 4 decades, Memphis, Tennessee has been controlled by the black community. Everybody in leadership, African-American, it's a majority black city. Everything is controlled by African-Americans in Memphis, Tennessee. So how is it that the white man is responsible for things that have happened when the blacks have controlled the city for 30, 40 years? Because nobody wants to talk about the issues. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that Democrat policies have decimated the black community, that Democrat policies have decimated the black family, and dare I say this, the white family in America. This is what's really going on in the country, but nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to have that conversation. Instead, they want to turn it around and go after either the white guy or the cops. And over the weekend, in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, which is a suburb of Minneapolis, there was another shooting incident. Police officers, they pull over a guy for a traffic violation. By the way, this guy, you know, when you watch the news, oh, he was such a sweet little boy. He sang in the church choir and he loves his mother and he has a rose garden. Oh, he was such a good boy. Well, it turns out the guy's a gangbanger. So the cops pull this guy over. They're running his his info through the computer, and lo and behold, the guy has outstanding warrants. So they tell the guy, get out of the car. We got to take you downtown. But instead of doing that, the guy takes off, and the police open fire. There was an accident. The guy was killed. A passenger in the car was injured. They crashed into somebody else. Those people were injured. And in response to that, it became Reparations Day in Brooklyn Center. I mean, they looted everything. It was like a swarm of locusts in Iowa. They ate everything in sight. Nike stores, they went after the Little Caesars, Pizza. They went after the cell phone store. There was nothing left in the cell phone store, not a single thing. Walmart got looted. Target, the list goes on and on. They even went after a hair and beauty supply wig store. This is what's going on in America. Now, last night on Saturday Night Live, or over the weekend on Saturday Night Live, they had a skit, a parody, and they actually, the host actually justified this kind of violence. They actually justified pillaging and plundering and looting and burning down businesses. And one of the hosts said, well, it's everybody has insurance. Well, they all have insurance. They can just rebuild. No, dear, that's not how that works. And you see, this is why you should not rely on people who play make-believe for a living for your political opinions, because they are ignorant. That's who Saturday Night Live is. They're ignorant. So anyway, I feel bad for all these people, and the reality is they're going to burn down this city until they get what they want. And what is it they want? Well, the head of Black Lives Matter, she has 4 mansions. Maybe she's looking for a 5th. So maybe that's what they've got to do. But they're out there, and they're literally justifying the looting by saying this is a form of reparations. So you have people out there, these protesters, and you should have seen, we've got all the video on our website, toddstarns.com. We have dozens of videos. And these thugs, these hoodlums, they're literally jumping up and down on the police cars, and they're knocking out the windows, and the police are doing nothing. As a matter of fact, there were several instances where the police were actually retreating because the police, they don't know what to do. If they enforce the law, they get accused of being racist. If they try to stop people from destroying taxpayer-funded property, all of a sudden they become a target for the BLM and the Antifa mob. So all that to say, on this radio program, ladies and gentlemen, we support the police. And I just want to say something. If you get pulled over, let's just say you're driving down the road and you get pulled over, and this has happened to me a time or two, and you get pulled over, what do? Well, I'm a white guy, so I have to follow the law of the land. There is no special exclusion because of my skin color. No, as a white person, I have to follow the law of the land. I don't get an excuse. So when I get pulled over, you know what I do? I pull off the side of the road, I turn off my car, turn off the engine, roll down the window, and I put my hands, I leave them on the steering wheel, and I wait for the officer to come up. He's going to ask for my license, my registration, my insurance card. I turn it all over, and you're polite. You do what you got to do, even if you're in the wrong. This cop, all he wants to do is get home to his wife and kid at nighttime. That's all he wants to do. After the shift is over, he wants to go back home to the wife and the kid. And this guy doesn't know me from Adam. He doesn't know if I have a weapon in the car. He doesn't know if I'm some sort of a wanted criminal. So he's taking every precaution necessary to keep him safe and to keep me safe. Here's what you don't do. You don't pull off the side of the road, and then when the cop comes to you, you hit the gas and you take off. Here's what else you don't do. You don't cuss and get in the face of the police officer. You be cordial. Be polite. Act like a human. And here's something you never, ever, ever do. You don't pull out a gun and shoot the police officer. And how many times have we seen that happen? Look, just in the past month, two police officers have been shot doing traffic stops. It is a very dangerous thing that these officers do for us. But you know what, folks? They're burning down Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. They're burning down Portland, Oregon. You know who has yet to speak out? You know who has not condemned the violence? Joe Biden. The Biden administration, they've been silent about this. You've got businesses that have been destroyed. And yet the Democrats are turning a blind eye. They are complicit in this, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what they want. They want the lawlessness, because lawlessness devolves into chaos and chaos into anarchy. And that's what they want in America. They want to cause upheaval, social upheaval in our nation. And that is what's going on in Minnesota and Oregon and even Virginia. So we're going to get to all of these stories. But I want you to know something, and if you're a police officer, a family of a police officer, you've got friends on this program, and we're going to stand alongside you guys. But this is absolutely unacceptable. By the way, the officer in Virginia got fired. I don't see that he did anything wrong, but he got fired, and we're going to get into that. 844-747-8868. What do you do, folks? How do you respond to this? It's coming to your town. You better bank on that. It is coming to your town. What are you doing to prepare for that day? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Well, I hope they certainly got some good deals while they were out doing the reparations last night in Brooklyn Center. And a lot of people were saying, well, Todd, why have you not condemned them for looting the shoe stores? Well, look, I mean, if you're going to loot, you know, you've got to make sure you've got something on your feet that's going to be able to get you where you're going to go fast. You got to do it. Otherwise, you're going to need a good podiatrist. So I don't fault the looters for wanting to make sure they have some good footwear so they can skedaddle when the police show up. By the way, National Guard, boots on the ground, and they're not putting up anything. But when you look at the videos, from last night and yesterday afternoon, you ask yourself this question: does this really look like America, or does this look like some sort of a third world country where you got people jumping? I mean, this is like the behavior of animals. I've never seen anything like this. Well, aside from the DNC, but it's horrible, just horrible. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Natalie, Hot Springs, Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Hi, Natalie, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. I am just so saddened by the divide and the tricks and games. I have barely listened to any, black comedy, black music, Native American cultures, because they are doing a fine job of canceling us out and stigmatizing us by our race, teaching the race theory, and they're bringing up the filth, the bottom of society, to the proletariat, as they say, from the Cultural Revolution of China, to start making the call, and pretty soon our government will be gods. Everything is just upside down, and it makes no sense, and it's definitely a third world country, and I hope that by me moving to Arkansas, I have a chance at having state rights, but even then, they're working into that, not having a say-so as well. So I see this as a bigger game. This is a game to end freedom and to take that corporate control into the next step. And we're not going to be the free world because of it.
And Natalie, this is an excellent point you bring up here. This is all part of a process, and it's really been happening since the 1960s. This is a very slow, methodical group here, and they're right out of the playbook of Rules for Radicals, written by Saul Alinsky. Nothing new there. But the ultimate goal here is to create chaos in society where the government has to come in, declare martial law, strip away our liberties, and Natalie, the Democrats already know that we will be more than happy to do that because of what happened during the China virus, what happened during the pandemic. So they are going to take control, and they will strip us of our civil liberties. That's the end game here. It may not happen next month. It may not happen next year. But it's coming, Natalie, and we have to be prepared for that day. Natalie, thank you for calling in. We appreciate you listening to the program. Going back to this situation in Virginia, the guy here who is an Army lieutenant seemed to think that because he wears the uniform of the country, that he doesn't have to obey any of the rules of the country. And the fact of the matter is, this guy was driving. He committed some sort of a traffic violation. He did not have a tag because apparently it was a new car. The windows were tinted, and the new license plate was taped inside so the officers could not see it. We also understand, and the mainstream media is not going to report this little nugget, but Greg Kelly over at Newsmax TV did. We also now know that this guy had a loaded gun on the floor of his car. And we don't know why, but he had one. Now, the question is, why was this guy being so obstinate? When the police officers tell you to get out of the car, you get out of the car. And a little bit later on, we're going to play the interaction between this guy and the police officers. This happened in Windsor, Virginia. But my question to you is this. When you get pulled over, what do? Do you fight back or do you comply with the officers? I'm very curious to know if you've had any kind of interactions with law enforcement. But I'm telling you, folks, this is a narrative they're trying to shove down our throats. There is a war on police officers in this country. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Live show blog, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, America. So look, folks, I'm absolutely serious about this. You do need to be prepared for what's going to be happening in your neighborhoods. I'm sure the folks in Brooklyn Center had no idea their businesses were going to be pillaged and plundered last night. I mean, the poor guy who owns the Little Caesars, he had no idea that they were going to be hauling out you know, crates of pepperoni from the pizza joint. It's unbelievable. And that's why you need to, right now, check out my friends over at ConstitutionCoach.com. We've been talking about these guys for a couple of weeks now. I just got back from one of their great three-day programs where you not only learn about the Constitution, but you also get some incredible self-defense training and firearm training. So ConstitutionCoach.com, our good friend Rick Green is America's Constitution Coach, and he's the guy that actually leads these seminars, and it's just incredible. It's David Barton's a very close friend of his, and very similar styles when they lead these seminars. You are going to come back from this weekend experience absolutely changed. I can promise you that. And it's really open for the whole family. So mom, dad, the kids, they have something for everybody. And believe it or not, about 60% of the people attending were, in fact, women. So a lot of ladies wanting to know how to operate a handgun safely, how to operate a shotgun, a fire, any kind of a firearm, they're going to be able to show you what to do. So I want you to go right now to ConstitutionCoach.com. They've got a class coming up in a couple of weeks, and they do them monthly. So if you can't get in on the April 25th class, you can always get in on next month's class. ConstitutionCoach.com to find out how you can help save the Republic and protect your neighborhood. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Ted, Chattanooga, Tennessee on Nuga Radio. Ted, what's going on?
Hi, good morning. I wanted to suggest that this whole scenario that we're experiencing in America right now is a result of the philosophy of a German philosopher called Hegel. And he put forth the idea that if you pit one philosophy against another philosophy, for example, conservative against liberal, then you'll have conflict. And out of conflict comes order, which you have a thesis and an antithesis, and somewhere in the middle you come up with a resolution. And that resolution becomes the outcry of the people, where they say, we've had enough of this fussing and fighting. We want law and order, and that's going to be given to us by the leaders, our government, or the people who are in power, which really aren't the leaders of our country right now.
And, Ted, when that comes, you're right. We're going to reach a point where there is so much chaos on the streets, and it's not in Los Angeles or New York City, but when it happens in places like Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Gainesville, Georgia, or Lafayette, Louisiana, when that starts to happen, you are going to hear an outcry from the population. Government, save us. And Ted, they will come in, and that's when the jackboot comes down.
That's exactly right. That's where we're going. And George Bush said, We're looking for a new world order, and we will succeed. He said those very words.
Ted,
we're looking at a new world order.
Yeah, look, Ted, this is good. This is good commentary you're giving us here, and I see how this is playing out, and it is not looking good. So we have got to stand alongside the police, and we have got to demand law and order on the streets of our cities. Ted, God bless you. Thank you for listening to us there in Chattanooga. Let's go to Adrian, listening to us on WDUN in the great state of Georgia. Hi, Adrian. What's up?
Hi, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to share some encouraging news with your listeners. Yesterday, the Sunday Atlanta Journal-Constitution had a full-page ad. I'll read you just the headline part. Joe Biden and Stacey Abrams stop lying about the Georgia Election Integrity Act. This ad was paid for by the conservative clergy of color. So I want everybody to know there are black conservatives out there a lot of them who are working hard to save our nation. They stand with us, with all, with, you know, American patriots.
Oh, Adrian, I have no doubt about that. I mean, here in Memphis, just last week, I was at a gathering at one of our prominent black churches, and there are clergy here, even in liberal Memphis, that are starting to rise up and speak out. And I look, as much as they come after us, when you are a person of color and you come out against the Democrat establishment and the apparatus, they will come after you. I mean, they call you an Uncle Tom. They say you're not a black. Remember what Joe Biden said? If you don't vote for me, you're not black. I mean, it's a horrible thing. So these are bold and courageous people you're talking about. Now, this ad, so it went out in the Sunday paper. I want you to do us a favor, Adrian. Send that to Grace. And Grace, maybe we can don't hang up, Adrian, after the call. I'm curious, how many people signed on to that?
There are no personal signatures. They, at the bottom, they give a website you can go to. And then at the very bottom, there's a little box paid for by conservative clergy of color. If you search conservative clergy of color on the internet, you will find some information about them.
Interesting. All right, Adrian. Well, thanks for the info and thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening. Hang tight. Let's go to Greg in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, Greg, what's happening?
Mr. Todd, I just wanted a quick question about, all these people doing the looting and the rioting and, you know, requiring reparations. Why are they requiring reparations when over 50-some-odd percent of the places they're looting and rioting and pillaging at are black-owned businesses?
Well, this is a terrific question here, Greg. And one of the reasons is sheer ignorance. I have seen in some of these situations where business owners would literally put up signs saying, black-owned business, don't burn us down. And in other instances, you've had black or people of color, a lot of Asian Americans, Hispanic business owners, literally stand out in front of their stores and guard them with firearms. So I think it's done out of ignorance. But again, we're dealing with a criminal element. I mean, Greg, just think about it. These people are willing. They think they have a right to everything inside the Walmart store. You and I, we got to go pay for it. But they believe they have a right to it. It's their birthright.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Greg, appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. I'm telling you, folks, if you are a business owner, and I'll just explain what we do here at Southern Command, here in Memphis, Tennessee, at our headquarters. I think about 80% of the staff here has a concealed carry permit. And so I can tell you our establishment is pretty well protected. And yours should be as well. I mean, you have a responsibility as an American citizen to protect your business, to protect your family, to protect your property. That's on you. I mean, let's be honest here. When the bad guys are on your property, it's still going to take 5 to 10 minutes for the police to get on the scene. So you've got to do what you got to do to protect you and your family. All right, let's go to the phones here. Mark in Little Rock, Arkansas, K-A-R-N. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. You know, I just thought that it might be useful advice to some of these business owners to get together and file a class action suit against these clowns, because the police aren't going to make them pay, so take them to court. They apparently are pretty well funded.
Yeah, well, one of the Black Lives Matter leaders has more homes than Bernie Sanders does. I mean, I got to tell you, these socialists like to live large. I've never seen anything like that. Mark, appreciate the call. Real quick, let's go to Janine, Chattanooga, Tennessee, on NugaRadio.com. Hey, Janine.
Hey, boy, listen to this. You have to tear down before you can build back better.
So is that what's going on right now in Minnesota? What did that? You have to, I'm not quite sure what she meant by that. All right. Janine, thanks for the call. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We've got an interesting development over the weekend, and we're going to get to this in just a few minutes. But the church in Canada, the one where the pastor had been arrested for, he was in jail for 35 days. They arrested him for violating China virus rules and regulations. But the church still kept worshiping, Grace Life Church. So over the weekend, the police came in and they literally set up three layers of chain link fence around the church property to keep the Christians out. But I got to tell you something, those Christians in Canada, they are people of hardy stock, because we have the video of the Christians showing up for church, and they brought their they brought power tools, and they tore out the fencing so they could continue to have church. This is pretty spectacular stuff that's going on over the northern border as people are starting to fight back against their government. And we need to start seeing that here in this country as well, folks. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Extravaganza. Good to have you with us. By the way, last week we were on 80. We told you we were up to 86 radio stations that now carry this show. We added another one on Friday, 87 radio stations around the country broadcasting this program, noon to 3 Eastern. And all I can tell you is we're adding about a dozen or so more in the next couple of weeks. So welcome to all of our new listeners. We're just so delighted that you are here with us. By the way, ToddStarnes.com is a great resource for you. We have all sorts of original stories, original reporting. You can also access our newsletter, our podcast, all free of charge to you. We do not charge you a penny for those great resources. Well, I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Great to have with us the founder of First Liberty Institute. We cover a lot of their court cases here on this program. Kelly Shackelford is joining us. Hey, Kelly, how's it going today?
Great, Todd. Good to be on with you.
Well, Kelly, last week the Biden administration made some significant headlines announcing that they are going to study packing the court, adding more justices to the Supreme Court. Good idea or bad idea?
It's a horrible idea. You know, Todd, back when this was being talked about in the campaign, we realized that this very well might be an attempt. And so we started working on really a major project to make sure this didn't happen, doing the research, looking into history. And I'm telling you, the more we find, the more really frightening this is. For those of you who don't know, court packing is when you add justices to the Supreme Court to get to the political results you're trying to get to. And once you do this, you destroy the Supreme Court. You really destroy the rule of law, because the courts are now simply an adjunct of the political, you know, party that's in power. So if they did this, for instance, then the Republicans, when they took over, they would add justices to get to the results they want to get to. And essentially at that point, no one has any constitutional rights anymore. You have whatever right the party in power wishes you to have, because if they want to take away that right, whether it's Second Amendment, First Amendment, whatever, they just have to add as many justices as they need to get to the results that they want to get to. And this has been attempted in the United States before in 1936 and 37, it's been attempted in other countries. And let me tell you, we've got to do everything in our power to make sure this doesn't happen, or we won't have this country anymore.
You know, Kelly, I thought it was interesting last week, Justice Stephen Breyer, who is perhaps one of the most liberal justices on the court, actually spoke out against packing the court.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they understand what it really does mean. And there are obviously some radicals who want this, who are pushing hard. I mean, the president, I mean, think of it. The President of the United States just issued an executive order announcing a commission to reform the United States Supreme Court. I mean, this is a coup. This is a coup on the Supreme Court. And Venezuela did this in 2015. And now we see, we under Chavez and Maduro, we've seen with the government you get with this. There, since they've done that, Todd, they have had 45,000 decisions from their courts. Not a single decision has been against the president.
Wow.
So this shows you where this leads. Argentina did it. It only took 8 minutes for them to totally lose their country. This is a drop into tyranny. It was tried in the United States. When the Democrats had control, they had 80 seats out of the 100 seats in the Senate. And they, not only could they not get it through, and this is FDR, a very popular president, but it was so controversial that the sponsor in the Senate died of a heart attack before it was over. And these are Democrats speaking against their own party, standing up and saying, this is tyranny if you do this. And they stopped it. And the next election, the people were so against this, they lost 8 Senate seats and 81 House seats in the election. So when people understand what this is, they will not like it. But I think they're thinking they can get away with it because people don't know what's going on or what they're trying to do.
Kelly, when you look at the attacks on law enforcement around this country, when you look at the Equality Act and the ramifications of that and what it could do to churches and people of faith all over this country, and then when you look at what's happening with the Supreme Court and what they want to do there, it just seems like there are massive attacks coming at us from all angles here, with the end game being, as you pointed out, what happened in Venezuela.
Yes. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, it's scary. That people, I mean, and it's obvious what's going on. There are they're not liberals, they're leftists, they're more Marxist, and they want to reform our government into something that is not the United States of America. And these other things you're talking about, Todd, are bad. They're bad policy ideas, you know, not supporting our police and law enforcement and all these. But this one is unique in that very quickly after it happens, it's a recipe for tyranny. I mean, it's all, you know, the rule of law, people take it for granted. The rule of law is huge, and it is what separates us from banana republics and these other places.
Well said.
And if the politicians take over our courts, that's where we are. So we've got to do everything in our power to make sure it doesn't happen.
All right, Kelly, we got to leave it there. We're up against a break. Always appreciate you coming on the program. FirstLiberty.org is the website. Check out their great information and organization. Kelly, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, folks, we do have to take a break. Tim Murtaugh from Heritage Foundation coming up. Also, Congressman Jim Jordan and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton wants to talk about the Second Amendment. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us this hour of the program. By the way, interesting survey came out. People are trying to figure out who's going to run for the White House, and there is a brand new poll, and I've never heard of this poll, so it is what it is, but over 30,000 people surveyed, and they found that 46% of Americans want Dwayne Johnson to run for the White House, The Rock. Could you imagine The Rock? He would, like, crush little Putin. He would just crush him. Unbelievable. So there you go. He's a former WWE star. And, of course, they had the big WrestleMania thing in Tampa, Florida. Was it in Tampa over the weekend? Somewhere in Florida. thousands of people there, 25,000 people. And the best part of it all, yes, I did watch a little bit of it, Grace Baker. The best part of WrestleMania was when Logan Paul, you know, that the YouTube dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, the obnoxious little punk.
Yes.
Yeah, he got laid out.
Nice.
Laid out.
Well, I will say, if The Rock was our president, it would be the best looking president in history for sure.
Not Donald John Trump?
No, I'm sorry. That spray tan doesn't always do him any favors.
Well, look, I mean, we don't even know if he's going to run. I mean, is he going to be a Democrat, a Republican, an independent?
You know,
I'll
be totally honest. I bet he would run as a Democrat.
You think so? I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, all that to say, there's a lot of screwy stuff going on in America right now. All right, good to have you with us, folks. Hour two underway. We've been paying very close attention to what's been happening at the southern border, and so has our next guest, Congressman Ben Klein. He represents the 6th Congressional District in the great Commonwealth of Virginia. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Todd, it's good to be with you.
So, Congressman, before we jump into what's happening at the border, we've been following these developments out of Minnesota and also Virginia, where you had the interactions with cop. One resulted in a guy being tased. The other, he was shot to death. Meanwhile, great unrest in Minnesota, and yet there's been nary a word from the White House about this.
There are tragedies occurring all across this country. We need to hear from the White House on this. And here in Virginia, where we had an incident on the other side of the Commonwealth from my district, I do support the governor's call for an independent investigation. I do think that we need to take a look into exactly what happened, because from the looks of it on the video, it's a tragedy that is unacceptable.
Well, I mean, yes. And again, you know, we did not invite you to come on to talk about this particular issue. But the reality is we don't know all the facts just yet. And I think we probably need to wait until we get all of the facts before, you know. And again, they're going to do an investigation, and let's see what the investigation turns out.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, on to immigration. Congressman, this just keeps getting worse. At some point, somebody's going to have to step up and say enough is enough here.
I think you have plenty on our side of the aisle who are standing up and saying enough is enough with the 400% increase of illegal crossings compared to March of last year. It's remarkable. When I was at the border, the conditions were terrible. But that was before the Biden administration. I went during the Trump administration when a lot had been done to address the flow that was coming in, including moving the people requesting asylum to Mexico and saying you have to wait out your asylum claim in Mexico. Removing that, when the Biden administration took that away, what they essentially said was, we're opening up the border. Come on in. We'll let you stay while your asylum claim is being considered, and you don't even have to have a court date to return to court. You're just essentially let loose into the interior of the country. So it's unacceptable.
You know, Congressman, it's been, 19, 20 days since the vice president was put in charge of this catastrophe at the border, and she has yet to go down there. She's yet to talk about this. Why do you think that is?
I'm concerned about that. I do not think she will be able to address the crisis, because I worked with her when she was a senator and I was in the House, and her solution to immigration was exactly what the Biden administration is doing right now, opening up the borders, taking no steps to address the crisis at the border. That's why she hasn't been down there, because she would rather, I think, continue to let the problem fester, and she has no interest in addressing border security, and she talks a lot about addressing the problems at the source within the countries where the people are coming from. But the best way you can convince people to not leave their country to come to America is to say that our borders are closed and you cannot get in. That's the way that you stop people from making that 1,000-mile hike with either with or without, you know, sending small children unaccompanied. It's just an unacceptable situation considering the dangers along the journey, and the vice president would do well to tell people that the border is closed.
I'm with you. And this video you shared on your Twitter feed of the 10-year-old child, mom and dad sent him unaccompanied to our border. This is just heartbreaking.
It is. Every child that is unaccompanied sent to the border is faced with dangers, not just from the human trafficking, the sex trafficking, the drug trade. The cartels are in charge at the border. They're the ones running the coyotes who are accompanying these groups. And when a child is lagging behind, they would prefer to just leave the child rather than have any sense of sympathy at all to make sure that the child is cared for.
Just unbelievable. Well, Congressman, we appreciate you fighting the good fight for this country and shining light on what's happening down at our border. We've got to leave it there, but thank you so much for coming on the program today.
Anytime, Todd.
All right, Congressman Ben Klein from the Commonwealth of Virginia. And it really is a mess. And I want to throw this out there. I think Kamala Harris, she's not stupid. She may be ignorant, but she's not stupid. And she understands. She's taking a look at what's happening down there. I mean, it's chaos. It's a full-blown invasion. And she's thinking, there's no way I'm going to be able to fix this mess. And if she goes down there and she sets one foot on that border, guess what, folks? It becomes her mess. So that's why she's hemming and hawing. If I were Joe Biden, I would bring her into the White House, say, Kamala, why don't you come over for lunch? We're going to get, you know what? We're going to get Dr. Mrs. Jill Biden, the first lady. She'll make some tuna salad sandwiches. And yes, Kamala, we'll put some celery in there for the crunch. And we're going to bring you into the White House. And she comes thinking there's going to be lunch. But instead, it's the Secret Service. And he orders the Secret Service to haul her butt down to the border. I wouldn't be surprised if he does that. But that's why I suspect she's not going down there, is she doesn't want to get saddled with that problem. Now, over the weekend, something very interesting happened, and I'm fairly disappointed I did not get an invitation to this event. But there was a knockdown, drag-out fight. This was at Mar-a-Lago. And President Trump was speaking to Republicans and trying to mobilize the base. And all of you people in Arkansas, you better pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. So anyway, the president went off script. I know it's a surprise, right? I mean, the guy never goes off script. And when he goes off script, you know it's going to get good. And it did. I mean, he tore into everybody, especially Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader, calling him a dumb SOB. He also went after Mike Pence and said he was disappointed that Pence did not fight for the certification of the election results in January. And he also said that Dr. Anthony Fauci was full of crap. Let me say that again. President Trump said that Dr. Anthony Fauci was full of crapola. A heap and helping of it. So anyway, it was, I think people were fired up. But Chuck Todd yesterday on MSDNC was asking Governor Asa Hutchinson about the president's remarks. And it was a fiery speech. And Governor Hutchinson said that he didn't think President Trump was being all that helpful. He said that such language is not good for the Republican Party and that we need to be kinder and gentler. So Hutchinson went on to say, quote, so to me, you've got to engage in the fight that we have in 2022, talking about how we should not be focusing on 2024. Meanwhile, you have Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, who was on CBS Face the Nation yesterday. And the daughter of Dick went out there on national television and went after President Trump. She went after Matt Gaetz. You know what she did not do? The leader of the Republican Party did not say anything in defense of Governor Ron DeSantis. Now, here you are, Liz Cheney, daughter of Dick, and you're on CBS Face the Nation. You've got the opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to get Margaret. Margaret Brennan is the host, by the way. And here's what Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, should have said. Margaret, I'm going to answer your question. But first, what's wrong with you people over at 60 Minutes? How dare you smear lies, provable lies, about Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida? So, Margaret, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to say another word. I'm going to sit here on national television, and I'm not going to say another word until you acknowledge that your network screwed over Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. The clock's ticking, Margaret. Just like on 60 Minutes, darling. Tick, 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 tick. That's what I would have done. I guess that's why I don't get invited back on Face the Nation. But you know what? She didn't do that. She had an opportunity. But instead, the leader of the Republican conference, Liz Cheney, got on national television. She bashed Donald Trump. She bashed Congressman Matt Gaetz. And she did not defend Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. What does that tell you about the leader of the Republican conference? What does it tell you that Governor Asa Hutchinson is out there attacking President Trump? You know what this president is doing? He's fighting. He's trying to tell these Republicans, unless you stand up and fight back, push back, you're going to lose. You're going to go back to being a bunch of losers. So now you got all these Republicans, and nobody wants to. I'll give Hutchinson credit. At least he got out there. But a lot of them are anonymous. They don't want their names out there. They're cowards. By the way, Senator John Thune, another Republican from South Dakota, on Fox News Sunday, said that President Trump's rhetoric and some of the things flying back and forth. He said we should be working to defeat the Democrats. You know what? Donald Trump was working to defeat the Democrats back in 2020. And what did the Never Trump Republicans do? Where was John Thune calling out all the Never Trump? Where was he? Where were all of these people back in 2020 when the party, the Republican Party, was working against the sitting president of the United States? 844-747-8868. Do you have a problem with Trump's rhetoric? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
By the way, have you heard about this high school track coach? He got fired because the athletes didn't want to wear face masks. Now, I know a little something about this. I have one of the little Stearnses runs track, and we were at a meet yesterday. The kid runs fast. That's because he hasn't discovered the Stearns family love of barbecue just yet. So he can run fast. And we were out at this track meet, and not a single person was wearing a face mask. You know why? Because it's impossible to run a race if you're breathing in all that garbage. So this guy, Coach Bradley Keyes, high school track coach, beloved figure, member of the community, and he was on Tucker Carlson Show over on Fox News Channel. He was with the Pembroke Academy. Let's play the first soundbite.
I have seen nothing that indicates there's any real reason for this.
What would happen? I mean, it's hard to even to imagine what would happen to a sprinter, for example, with a mask on. I mean, how can that be healthy?
Well, it's funny you mention that. I decided a couple days ago to go run a 200 meter and a 400 meter out on the track with a mask on, so I'd actually have firsthand experience. Yeah. I knew it would be bad. I've run the races before. What I didn't quite realize was that as you inhale over and over again, hard, you're actually sucking the mask into your mouth and your nose. It seals around your face. So there's no airflow around the edges, which is how they're designed. Everything has to come through the fabric. And it takes extremely exhausting races and makes them significantly worse. And then I got thinking about what's happening with any particles that are coming off the masks. What are you actually breathing into your lungs over and over and over again? And I got even more concerned about the possible health effects.
Well, good for him. And he's not kidding. I mean, there are significant health issues with those face burkas. He wrote a letter to the athletic director, and he called the decision to wear face masks during events senseless, irrational, cowardice, bull hockey. Clean that up a little bit. Quote, I will not stand up in front of the kids and lie to them and tell them these masks are doing anything worthwhile out in an open field with wind blowing and sun shining. I will not deceive them into thinking that these restrictions are somehow necessary or sensible. This is the letter he wrote to the athletic director. I regret putting you in this decision. Fire me if you must. And they did. They fired the guy because he would not force the kids to wear the face burkas. Cut number two.
It's not about the money. I'm not even worried about being fired. I won't work in an organization that does that anyway. I put their backs against the wall. I didn't give them much of a choice. And I was hoping for a reaction because I wanted to get some other people to start talking. And hopefully, yeah. I mean, my goal is to get these mandates removed. And it's not just track and field. It's tennis. It's baseball. It's every outdoor sport. Masks will be worn all times, practices and competitions. Tennis, wonderful example. Singles tennis, you go watch practices, everyone's wearing masks. Competitions, they will be wearing masks, even though they're 30 to 60 feet apart on the courts.
Well, look, he sounds like a good and decent man and makes a lot of sense to me. I remember whenever I'm at the airport and I have to wear those face burkas for any extended amount of time, I get a cough. And I don't know if that's if you experience the same thing, but Grace is raising her hand. So I suspect other people are going through the same thing. And we have no idea what kind of particles we're breathing in. So good for you, Coach. And I hate it for the kids because they had somebody who was actually looking out for him as opposed to spewing Dr. Fauci's nonsense. Oh, by the way, Dr. Fauci says even if you get the vaccine, you still should not go to a restaurant or even eat outdoors. Just think about that. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. The website, toddstearns.com. Get yourself subscribed to the podcast. We'll be right back. This is week two of no Baptist martinis, no Diet Coke in the Stearns household. We are now officially in week two of the Coca-Cola boycott, and I'm trying to figure out we're trying to figure out which airline we could use outside of Delta. So I may end up doing a lot of driving to our speaking engagements, but we're going to do our best here on the Todd Stearns radio program to stand with the good people of Georgia and not these radical tyrants and big business as they try to put the jackboot of their political opinion on the throats of Georgia voters. By the way, and I'll just say this and let this linger out there. Just think about this for a moment. Democrats, based on their line of argument here, they literally believe that black people don't have the capacity to obtain a driver's license or a state-issued ID. I mean, that, ladies and gentlemen, is blatant racism. And we've got to condemn that kind of nonsense. Meanwhile, this story just coming in, the New York Times reporting that Will Smith has announced he is pulling his movie production company out of the state of Georgia. Will Smith was preparing to produce Emancipation in the state of Georgia, but it's a slavery era drama for Apple Studios. But now he is pulling the film out of Georgia because of the new voter ID law. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Always honored to have our good friend Tim Murtaugh, who is a fellow over at the Heritage Foundation. Tim, hope you're doing good today.
Doing well, Todd. Great to be with you again.
So I want to get your reaction here to this news. Will Smith announcing that, you know what, we're pulling out of Georgia, and it looks like a lot of people are going to lose their jobs as a result of that.
You know, this is just another case of absurd double standards. I mean, these actors, Will Smith, trying to stand up and show that he's got convictions, right, by punishing the people who will lose their jobs as a result of him taking his movie away from Georgia. But he was perfectly fine to film a PSA for China for the release of Bad Boys 3, another one of his movies. That was fine. And so he's okay with those human rights abuses. But, you know, asking people to show an ID to vote, that's where Will Smith draws the line. Genocide and concentration camps in China, not really on his radar. But you ask someone to prove who they are when they go and exercise their right to vote, and that's just too far for Will Smith. It's absurd. Absurd.
And you know, again, it's ignorance and stupidity. I mean, they clearly have not read the law. There are other states that have much stronger laws on the books, including New Jersey and New York. And then there's polling data out there. Tim, there's a Rasmussen Report survey. 69% of black voters, 75% overall support voter ID laws.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. And the reason why the Democrats have been forced to lie about what's in the Georgia law can be found in that, because it's common sense. When you are going to exercise your right to vote, to prove that you are who you say you are. And what is the big deal? They try to make it seem like, sound like, that the voters of color are somehow incapable of producing identification. Americans have to produce ID in any manner of everyday activities every single day. And in fact, if it is a financial burden on you to get a driver's license or other form of government ID, Georgia will provide an ID free of charge. So that argument goes out the window. And Todd, this is the timeline of what went on in the Georgia law, especially with respect to Major League Baseball and then Coke and Delta and the other ones that you've been talking about. Here's the timeline. Democrats lied about what was in the Georgia law. And then they got the corporations all spun up. And the corporations, of course, the first thing they do is they cave in to the liberal pressure. That includes Major League Baseball and Coke and Delta and the others. And what happens then? Because the All-Star game gets yanked from Atlanta, Georgia, and moved to Denver. Atlanta is 51% black. Denver, by the way, is less than 10% black. So the black-owned businesses in the Atlanta area are going to be punished as the All-Star game is pulled out. Then, realizing that it was bad, Joe Biden, Stacey Abrams, Senator Warnock, Senator Ossoff, they all tried to distance themselves from MLB's decision to pull the All-Star game. And then Stacey Abrams said, well, I didn't want them to do that. What did she think was going to happen? And then we find out overnight that Senator Warnock lied in his statement about what was in the bill. He sent out a statement that criticized things that were in the bill when it was going through the legislature. It's not in the law, the things that he was critical of. But that didn't stop him from raising hell about it and making MLB and Coke and Delta and others bow at the altar of liberal pressure. And that's exactly what happened. And who's going to pay the price for this? It's the black-owned businesses in the city of Atlanta. That's the result.
And again, it goes back to the overarching question, why are they doing this? I mean, the Democrats, they see the same polling data we see. It seems like there is this intentional effort to make this about race, much like the Democrats have made these police incidents about race when race is truly not a factor. What do you think the long game argument here is?
Well, I think this is what their plan is, and it's a two-tracked approach. What their ultimate goal is to pass H.R. 1, which is jokingly called the For the People Act, and what it does is nationalize elections and put into law all of the things that were put in as a result of the pandemic. You know, these things like drop boxes in Georgia, which, by the way, didn't exist before the pandemic, things like that. They want H.R. 1 to be the law of the land to cement the liberal control of Congress for decades to come. Now, in order to achieve that, they've got to do a couple of things. They have to identify a problem and say, this is exactly why we need H.R. 1, and that's the Georgia law. So they have to demonize the Georgia law in the easiest way, and their go-to in most situations is to call it racist. That's why that's their excuse for needing H.R. 1. We've got to fix this with this federal law and have Congress take over the elections. Now, how do they do that? There's not a chance that H.R. 1 would pass the Senate with the 60 votes required. So they have to get rid of the filibuster. And so how do they attack the filibuster? You guessed it. They call that racist, too. All of this is towards the goal of having the federal government take over state elections to make sure that liberals can remain in power for decades to come. That's what all of this is about.
Fascinating stuff, Tim. Appreciate your insight, as always. Tim, where can folks go if they want to get more information about you?
Well, you can always check me out on Twitter. That's at Tim Murtaugh, T-I-M-M-U-R-T-A-U-G-H. And I've launched my own political consulting firm. You can find that at LineDriveLLC.com. I appreciate the opportunity to get a couple plugs in there, Todd.
Thank Absolutely. You. We're happy to do that. Tim, we're big fans of your work, and we're glad to have you as a part of the program. Folks, Tim Murtaugh, he is a visiting fellow with the Heritage Foundation and a great American patriot as well. Tim, thanks a lot.
You bet. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Well, you never know how these shows are going to go, but there really is some sort of a theme developing here with Kelly Shackelford warning about the efforts to pack the Supreme Court and really the ultimate goal here of turning us against each other and using race as the impetus to do that. It is a very dangerous time in America. And we've got to stay focused. I'm still very hopeful that we're going to be able to get out of this mess we allowed ourselves to get into. But it's going to take a lot of work, folks. It's going to take a lot of work. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Congressman Jim Jordan coming up in the next hour. That almost sounded like that bumper music, Jolene, Dolly Parton's Jolene.
That is the great Doobie Brothers singing China Grove.
I know, but it almost sounded just...
I gotcha. I can see why you maybe thought that.
It's
okay.
Just a smidge.
It's okay, Todd.
Like that. By the way, ladies and gentlemen... Grace Baker has, have you seen the dog? Have you been able to pet the dog?
No, because the dog is 3 hours away. So, no, I haven't gotten to pet her, but I have picked her out and have pictures of her.
So you've picked out the dog?
Yes.
All right. And have we come up with a name yet?
I have a list of names, and I've just decided that I'm going to officially name her when I do meet her in person.
You know, I have to tell you, Grace, we get a lot of mail here, but mostly it's been for you lately.
I've seen that. I've been getting the suggestions. Keep them coming, please.
And they're pretty good, actually.
Yes.
So there was one, though. Somebody said you should name the dog Jasper.
Yeah, Jasper's more of a boy name, though.
And it's also Dana Perino's dog's name.
Oh, well, that would be pretty cool. It's just not a girl name.
You could call the dog Perino.
I could call the dog Perino. I guess.
It's a thought.
It is a thought. It's better than Butt Ugly.
I'm still thinking that's a great,
name. Oh, okay.
It's a great name for a dog. Come here, Butt Ugly. Get over here.
Poor thing. Good thing you don't have a dog, Todd.
Yeah, well, this is true. Not yet, at least. We'll see. But if I did, I would name mine like, you know, I don't know, Hambone or, you know, Biscuit.
Yeah, Biscuit's cute.
Cornbread.
Yeah, I see a theme here. Sweet tea.
Louis Grizzard, back in the... Now, we have a lot of Louis Grizzard fans that listen to this show from over in Georgia. I believe that Louis Grizzard, the great Southern humorist who was despised and loathed by liberals, had a dog named Catfish, I believe. So any Louis Grizzard fans out there, give us a call, 844-747-8868.
Well, you know, George Washington had Dalmatians.
Named Catfish?
No. I think it was named like Moose.
No.
It was something really weird.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Where did you get the information?
Oh, you just Google it. George Washington's Dalmatians.
Is that right?
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go.
So
Grace
that's
Baker,
pretty cool.
A patriot.
Yes.
All right. From Southern California comes a story. You know, we told you about the church in Canada where the police put up the chain link fence around the church house, and then the parishioners came and they tore it down. In Southern California, the Tin Horn Flats Saloon and Grill, that's in Burbank, has come under attack. City leaders are very upset because they have been allowing people to eat outside, which is against the rules in Burbank. The owner of the Tin Horn Flats Saloon and Grill now faces $50,000 in fines. And it turns out they put up a chain link fence around the restaurant. One of the owners says, show me one shred of evidence how I'm endangering the public. And he says he's not going to pay a cent of the fines. This has never been about safety or the public. It's never been about that. This whole thing is about fear and control. Good for you, sir. So here's what happened. The owners showed up, and the city of Burbank had put up the chain link fence, and they had padlocked the front doors. So the owners did what any God-fearing American patriot would do. And this is pretty impressive because the owner's from Thailand. But you know what? They went up there, and they got their power tools, and they sawed off the padlock on the front door as a crowd of patriots gathered around and cheered. And then the police arrested them. So this is appalling. A judge ordered the establishment's electricity to be cut off. That's according to NBC News in Los Angeles. And now they're saying that the owners are saying that the city officials are trespassing on their private property. Can you believe this? They sent a SWAT team out to shut down a grill and saloon. I have to imagine that would not fly down in, say, San Antonio, or you folks listening to us over in Rome, Georgia, or Gainesville, Georgia. The Burbank Police Department is condemning the owners of the restaurant and their unlawful behavior. But the owner says, you know what? The city's trying to make this very political. I just think every business is essential, a legitimate one that pays taxes. It's just tyranny. And communism, that's what's happening. And he's absolutely right. So good for you, sir. And we're going to try to get the owners of this restaurant on the air. And if need be, we'll even help raise money to get them out of jail if they're still in jail. I mean, that's just not right. We should not be going through something like this on American soil. But this is where we are right now, folks. It is a tough, tough time in America. And we've got to fight back over. We've got to fight back over all of this nonsense. All right. ToddStarnes.com. By the way, our newsletter, it comes out later on today. We put that thing out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it has become all the more important for the past, 3.5 weeks, 4 weeks now. We have been in some sort of Facebook jail. We haven't done anything wrong. We don't know what's happened. But our engagement numbers have been throttled. So normally we would have, I don't know, on any given day, about a million or so engagement on our. Now it's under 200,000. And we don't know why. So we get messages from you guys saying, well, Todd, I can't see your stuff anymore. Why isn't your stuff in my Facebook feed? I subscribe to you. I do all this stuff. So here's what we need you to do. The only way to get around the Facebook overlords is to subscribe to our newsletter. Again, we do not charge anything for it, and we don't sell our list. We keep that private. And we send you news and information on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so we don't want to clog up your email box. I mean, we all get a lot of emails, and that's the only way that we can guarantee you're going to get our information, you know, free and clear. And the same thing's happening. You know, we're still banned from LinkedIn. It is a lifetime ban on LinkedIn because I shared a story that was negative about the transgender community. Why are you laughing at me, Grace? It's a horrible thing.
Well, because it was my article that got you banned.
Oh, I forgot about
that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's my fault.
You should hold your head in shame.
Oh, I'll go sit in the corner.
Thank you. It's a self-punishment.
Exactly.
Banned for life.
I'll take the L.
I mean, I can't fire myself. But I won't be able to post my resume anywhere.
Oh, geez.
It's terrible.
Good thing you own the company.
Yeah. Good days, bad days. All right, got to take a break here. I said the quiet part out loud, didn't I? I'm joking. Just joking. Hey, Jim Jordan, coming up next. Plus your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, America. Good to have you with us. So a little update here on the situation out in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. And, geez, Alou, America, this is going to get ugly. So we're going to play this in just a little while. We are pulling the audio at this very moment. We have the officer's cam. We have the cameras that they wear, so we have that, and we're going to pull the audio from that. And what it reveals, according to the police department, apparently the police officer in question, she thought she was firing her taser at the suspect who broke loose as they were trying to take him into custody and was able to jump back into his car and skedaddle out of there. She was yelling, taser, taser, and then she fired, but she accidentally fired her gun and not her taser. And the police chief is calling this an accidental discharge. All I can suggest, and we're going to get into more of this a little bit later on, but if you've got a business in Brooklyn Center, you might want to go ahead and board that sucker up real quick. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend from the great state of Ohio, Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, how's it going?
I'm fine, Todd. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Hey, look, I want to ask you about this story over the weekend, and then we're going to jump into the border. But President Trump, President Trump at Mar-a-Lago, were you down there for the speech?
No, I was not there for that. We're actually going to be down there later this month at a different event, but I was not there for the one on Saturday.
Well, for all the reporting, the president had some rather unkind things to say about Mitch McConnell, among others. And you've got all these Republicans, Asa Hutchinson among them, out on the Sunday talk shows saying, hey, this is not what we need from Donald Trump. We don't need that sort of rhetoric. Did you hear anything, or at least from the observations, the reporting we have seen? What did you think about what the president had to say?
Well, here's what I know about what the president has done. He had the most successful presidency in our lifetime when in his first term. Did more of what he said he would do than any president my lifetime. So I appreciate what the president's done for the country, what he's done for the party. He brought new people to the party. I always tell the story. I gave a speech in Youngstown area last fall before the election. There were 350 Republicans at this event. It used to be you couldn't find 350 Republicans in Mahoning County, Ohio. And after the speech was over, Jim Trafficant's family – now think about this. Jim Trafficant, longtime Democrat, his family is at a Republican event. They come up to get a picture with conservative Jim Jordan. That doesn't happen but for the work that President Trump did for our party. So when people go on the Sunday shows and criticize President Trump, I think they're just missing the boat. I think he's done amazing things for our country and amazing things for – the Republican Party.
And again, I'm with you here. And of course, not everybody's going to agree with the president, and that's fine. But when you have Liz Cheney out there on the Sunday shows, the leader of the House Republican Conference, and she's out there taking shots at Matt Gaetz and Donald Trump, and yet she does not take the time on CBS to demand that they apologize and retract that hit job on Ron DeSantis, I'm not understanding why the leader of the Republican Conference would not do that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think it ever helps us to be criticizing other Republicans like that when they're in tune with the party like President Trump is, and that done so much for our country. It just doesn't make sense to me. And what 60 Minutes did, I mean, this is the state of journalism today. You know, understand this, every single institution is now controlled by the left. The left controls big media. They control big tech. They control all of the federal government. They control big sports now. We saw that with Major League Baseball's decision last week. They control all of Hollywood. They control all of higher education. The left controls everything. So I don't see where it helps us to be criticizing the Republican Party, who's trying to fight against the left, who is taking your freedoms away from you every chance they get.
Congressman, you had a brilliant tweet a few days ago talking about the massive numbers of illegals invading our country. And you pointed out that so far, or at least from February to the end of March, 270,000 illegals came into the country. The population of Toledo, Ohio is 268,000 people.
Yep. Yep. It's overwhelming. We were there last week. It is not a crisis. It is chaos. Last month, the month of March, the border agents told us was the largest, busiest month in the history of Border Patrol since they've been keeping records. That's how serious the situation is. And the sad thing is, it was totally avoidable if the Biden administration would have just kept in place the policies the Trump administration, President Trump, had negotiated and were working. Mainly the Remain in Mexico policy. Before people come into our country, while they're seeking asylum, as they're being evaluated, that policy, undoing that, and then announcing to the world you weren't going to deport anyone and you were going to stop building the wall, that sent a message. And now these numbers are just literally overwhelming. It is a chaotic situation, and it could have been avoided but for the crazy decisions the Biden administration and the left have implemented.
Congressman, why do you think they're doing this? Why is it the Democrats want all of these illegals in the country?
Great question. And we had at a roundtable discussion down there, we had the head of the Border Patrol union and a local sheriff and some property owners, and they said they think it's intentional. They think this administration is intentionally trying to flood the country with now what will be somewhere between 2 and 3 million if it continues at the pace it's currently on, which is unbelievable that you have an administration, the commander-in-chief, the head of our government, who it looks like, and this is what they said, this wasn't coming from Republican members of Congress, it's coming from people on the ground who were testifying to us and talking to us, that they think it's intentional, which is just alarming if that, in fact, is the case.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend from Ohio, Congressman Jim Jordan. By the way, I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to the former Speaker of the House, John Boehner. He's no friend of yours, says some pretty awful things about you.
Well, I mean, look, I don't do that to Republicans. We just talked about where I don't think that makes sense. If he wants to do that, if he thinks that helps him market his book, then that's up to him. I've never publicly said things about him that were negative. I appreciate the service he gave our country. I just respectfully disagreed with him. You know, remember, it was John Boehner who told us that when Planned Parenthood was caught on video saying the disgusting things they were doing, talking about selling baby body parts, we were supposed to deal with that and not no longer give your tax dollars, Todd, and the people who are listening to your show, their tax dollars to that organization. That didn't follow through. We were supposed to get rid of Obamacare. That didn't follow through. We were supposed to get a handle on spending. That didn't follow through. And so that's why I disagree with some of the decisions that were made, but I never wanted to make it personal. It was to me about doing what we told the voters we were going to do, and that's what I always try to do when I get the chance to serve the folks of the 4th District of Ohio in the United States Congress.
Classy. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of that among the never-Trump left of the Republican Party. Congressman, we're going to leave it there. By the way, I'm going to ask a weird question here. I know you're an old wrestling coach. Did you catch any of the WrestleMania over the weekend?
I didn't watch the WrestleMania. I did watch the U.S. Olympic trials a week and a half ago, and of course the NCAA finals were on 3 weeks ago, so I got to watch some of that. But did not watch WrestleMania.
Well, you see, Memphis is a huge wrestling town. You've got Jerry the King Lawler. You know, it's like a big deal around here.
Yeah, sure.
We call it wrestling, though. So there's a difference, right. Wrestling and wrestling. So. All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Always appreciate you.
Great. Thanks, Todd. Take care,
buddy. All right. Good guy right there, Congressman Jim Jordan. Coach, he was an assistant coach, wrestling coach at The Ohio State University back in the day before getting into politics. All right. So let me bring you up to speed here on what we know out of this Minnesota case. Do we have the audio of the – all right, let's play the – All right, let's play this audio. It's going to be a little difficult to understand, but this is the body cam footage of the altercation in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, yesterday afternoon. All right, so it was hard to hear, and we had to bleep out one of the words. But basically, the female officer, she yelled "Taser, Taser," which is what they are trained to do. She thought that she was firing her taser, which is one shot, but instead she actually fired her gun into the car. Now, the police chief is calling this an accidental shooting. And that very well may be the case. I want to back up for a second. I think there may be two issues here. First of all, the guy was out of the car. He had warrants, so they pull him over for the traffic stop. They run his driver's license. Warrants pop up, outstanding warrants. They get him out of the car. And while they are trying to take the guy into custody, that's when there was an altercation. It's all happening right there by the driver's door, okay? So it's not like they moved him to the back of the car. They had him right there. The door was open. He had a passenger in the car. So there's a scuffle, and he's able to jump back in. So when she yelled, "Taser, Taser," he was already behind the driver's – he was already behind the wheel of the car. And she fires the gun once, thinking it's a taser, and that was the kill shot. And then the guy just speeds off, and then they end up crashing the car just a little while later. So two things here. If you are a police officer, should you not know the difference between a taser and a gun? And if you don't, what are you doing out on the streets with either one? That's question number one. Question number two is, why did the guy resist? If you're under arrest, you comply with what the officers are telling you. When you fight back against the police, all bets are off. You don't know what could happen. So ultimately, I still believe that the way this went down, this is on the guy. I mean, it's a tragic thing that happened. Now, maybe you feel otherwise, and I would like to hear from you. But it seems to me they've got two issues there in Brooklyn Center. And I hate to say this, but I suspect it's going to get ugly later tonight in that town. 844-747-8868. We're going to the phones when we get back. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Stern.
This just in, Major League Baseball announcing they are postponing the Minnesota Twins Red Sox baseball game over safety concerns tonight. Meanwhile, this just in as well, activists in Minneapolis are calling for the police officer, the female police officer, to be arrested and charged with murder, and they want the police chief from Brooklyn Center to be fired. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. John, listening to us on WDUN. All right, John, what's on your mind?
I just want to call because I'm actually driving around. I'm listening to your radio station, and I just want to say I don't really agree with what you said, because I want to ask you this. Do you think that Floyd should have got killed for not complying?
George Floyd?
Yeah, do you think that you just made a statement, you said that basically you felt like the person deserved it because he resisted. You said, why?
John, let me ask you a question. No, I'm going to answer your question here, but let me ask you a question first. If the man who had been pulled over in Minnesota, if he had complied with police officers, do you think he would still be alive today? It's an easy question. Right? Just yes or no. It's not a trick question. Just yes or no. Do you think he would be alive if he had complied?
I can't really answer that question because he didn't comply. He was on the ground with a knee on his neck. So that's not.
No, John, we're not talking about George Floyd. And if you've listened to this program for any amount of time, we were among the first radio shows to condemn the officer's actions in the George Floyd case. But we're not talking about George Floyd. We're talking about this guy who fought with police officers, broke away as he was being taken into custody, and he ended up getting shot. Do you think he would be alive?
So let me ask you this. Do you feel like it's truthful that they mistake the taser with the gun?
Absolutely. That's exactly. Have you watched the video of the body cam footage, John?
No, I haven't. I was actually just listening.
Okay, well, we did, and it's very clear the female officer comes racing up. She's yelling, taser, taser, which is what they are trained to do, and she ended up firing what she thought was the taser, and it turned out to be a gun. And that's a horrible thing, and I'm sure there's going to be some sort of a penalty for that officer. But the reality of it is, John, he was in the process of being handcuffed when he broke away and he fought with the police. And John, I don't care what color you are, but if you fight with the police, at that point, all bets are off. I mean, the police are trying to protect themselves at that point.
Agreed. That's agreed. I agree with that, but I still don't feel like death should be a penalty. And
no,
I know for a fact that once you pull that gun out, a gun is way heavier than a taser.
Well, and that's where I'm confused here. And again, John, as you heard me say, if you don't know the difference between your taser and a gun, you don't have any business patrolling anything.
Being in the streets, correct. I did hear you say that. I agree with that.
So, look, I mean, you're going to have cops that make mistakes, but by and large, the cops are good and decent people and of all different ethnicities, all different backgrounds, and they just want to get home safely to their families at the end of their shift. And this is a terrible thing that's happened here, and they got to get to the bottom of it. But my point is this, John, had the guy just done as the officers had instructed, he would be alive today. He would probably be in jail, but he would be alive.
Yeah, but I also thought that police was trained to go other ways before using that type of force.
Well, we don't know what the thinking was of the police officers. We just don't know. But I suspect we're going to find out. John, appreciate the call, and give us a holler back one of these days. Let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Mike, listening to us on KARN. Hey, Mike, got about a minute here.
Well, I was going to tell you, Louis Broussard, his dog was named Catfish. And that dog was given to him by the coach at the University of Georgia, who had a couple of great labs himself. And I can't remember what that coach's name was, about four coaches ago.
Was it Vince Dooley? I think Vince Dooley was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's who it was. That's exactly who it was. But Louis Grizzard was great. Now, he did stay in trouble all the time because he would talk about those boys. They thought that he would call them light loafers. So
you can't do that nowadays, Mike.
I love your show, and I'm glad I got through. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Mike, thanks for calling in. Vince Dooley, that's a blast from the past. Good old former football coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. His son, not a very good coach for my University of Tennessee Volunteers, but that's a conversation for another day. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. What do you think they ought to do with this police officer here? I mean, this is a pretty big mistake. But again, my contention is the guy should have complied with the police. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Wow, what a mess in Minnesota. Jeez, Alou. Terrible story. If you just joined us, the police now acknowledging that instead of shooting a taser, the police officer in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, fired her gun. And that led to the death of a suspect wanted on outstanding warrants. And now Major League Baseball has announced they are canceling tonight's Twins-Red Sox game out of concerns for public safety. If you are a homeowner, if you own a business anywhere in Minneapolis, you might want to go ahead and board up the windows because reparations will probably start sometime after dark. I'm just saying. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now you understand why every single American citizen needs to be armed with a weapon. You have a constitutional right and you have an obligation to own a firearm and to protect yourself and your family, your business and your home when something like this happens. And we certainly saw this take place and unfold during the Rodney King riots. Remember when the community went after the Asian American-owned businesses? And what did those business owners do? They got their legally acquired firearms and they stood watch and guarded their businesses. And that's what the people in Minnesota need to be doing. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend, the Attorney General of the state of Texas, Ken Paxton, joins us. Mr. Attorney General, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you doing, Todd?
Doing well, thank you. A couple of big stories, and of course, this effort by the Biden administration to grab our guns. I know that you folks there in Texas are going to fight back pretty hard on that.
You know, there's not many Texans that would agree with Biden's attempt at taking guns or making more regulations to infringe on our Second Amendment. I can promise you this, whatever he tries to do that affects Texans' rights to bear arms, we will fight.
Were you surprised at all that the administration came out with such a heavy-handed executive order?
You know, I wish I could say yes, but if you think about what Biden has done since he's been in office, everything's been heavy-handed from, I mean, day one, inviting everybody to cross the border and you won't be deported, to just about everything that he actually spoke about. There's been no moderation. This is not a moderate guy. He may have been that as a senator at one point, but clearly there are people pushing him hard left on every single issue.
I mean, it seems as though, you know, Mr. Attorney General, that the Biden administration is shoving us down this path towards socialism, and you've got these battles breaking out on all sorts of different fronts, wanting to stack the Supreme Court, wanting to push through the Equality Act to target churches and silence Christians in America, to grab our guns, and then to destabilize the country by letting in over what they're saying as many as 3 million illegal aliens.
Yeah, and on top of that, you've got H.R. 1, which would affect our elections to basically codify election fraud around the country. Instead of just the states that had the issue last time, we would find that across the country. And basically, elections would be not credible. They'd be more like Venezuela. So, yeah, it's remarkable how far left he's gone so quickly, much faster than, you know, I would have thought Biden would have been more leftist. He was pretty leftist, but not to the degree that Biden has pushed us so incredibly fast.
So what are you guys doing there in Texas to fight back?
So we're doing what we can in my office. I have lawyers, and so we go to court. And we've filed several lawsuits against the Biden administration, a couple related to immigration. We've got more in the works. We also had one related to Keystone Pipeline, trying to stop him from unilaterally shutting down a project that was 100% good for America, because one, it was actually environmentally better than what he's doing, which is shipping it by, now they're shipping it by rail car. And it's also costing us jobs. It's costing us energy independence. It's helping foreign countries that hate us. There's literally nothing good about the things he's doing.
We mentioned the border, Mr. Attorney General. There, you guys on the front lines of that fight. In the last segment, we had Congressman Jim Jordan, and he pointed out that just in the past month or so, you've had illegals the size of Toledo, Ohio's population cross that border. What kind of an impact is that having in Texas, and especially on those border towns?
The best word I can think of is devastating. Especially the border towns are being overrun. It's going to affect our state forever with crime, with increased crime. We have health issues that are going to be exacerbated because of this. It won't just affect Texas, because people are going to be moved around eventually. It's going to cost our country a lot more money. And even the kids, if you think about the kids that are coming up, there's a lot of downside to them. They have a tremendous risk coming this way. And obviously they've been invited by the president. So some of those kids are going to be harmed on the way, and they're going to be exploited. And this is not the way. If you want more immigration, then let's do it the right way. Let's go through Congress. Let's have debates. Let's figure out what works and what's best for the American people. And if you're 100% focused on immigration, then let's make sure it works the right way.
Have you seen or have you heard reports of any uptick in China virus cases as a result of the massive swell at the border?
You know, I think because of the vaccination, the numbers are going down. But what you're doing with this is you are increasing the risk because these kids. I was just at a detention center today, and some of these kids have the virus and they have other things, and they're all confined to a very close area. Now, in the one I visited, they were separated out, but they're testing every 3 days. So you could have a kid that has it for 3 days, exposing literally thousands of other kids, and then these kids are, you know, placed around the country with different families. So that virus is going to spread to people that otherwise wouldn't have, whether, you know, the rates are going down because of vaccination and, you know, the people that have already been exposed. We are going to have more trouble than we would have.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. Attorney General Ken Paxton from Texas. Always good to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
All right. You too now. All right. 844-747-8868 is our toll free telephone number. Jonathan Gilliam. Good friend of ours, been on the program many times before. He is a former FBI agent, Navy SEAL, and I believe he worked with the Secret Service. Anyway, he knows what he's talking about when it comes to law enforcement. And Jonathan Gilliam just shared this. The Brooklyn Center shooting in Minneapolis was not a tragic accident. It was a result of an interaction between a 20-year-old black man's felonious actions and a white female police officer whose employment is a product of racial gender quota hiring and minimal training standards. So the argument that Gilliam is saying is that, hey, we need to take a look at the hiring practices of this police department and to see if any, you know, was this individual qualified to be a police officer, or did they lower the requirements so that they could meet some sort of a racial or gender quota? That's coming from Jonathan Gilliam on his Twitter page. I'm very curious to know your thoughts on that. So we're going to take a break here. When we come back, J.K. Rowling back in hot water again over transgender stuff. We're going to get to that. Plus your calls, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
You've heard people say, man, I wouldn't do that shit if I was you. Well, here's some of that shit. Carjacking, armed robbery, arson, selling drugs, buying drugs, stabbing, shooting. You know, you probably won't get your ass kicked if you just use common sense. If you jump a subway turnstile, you might just get off with a warning from the police. But if you jump a turnstile carrying a loaded gun and smoking a joint, then maybe you need your ass kicked.
I don't think Chris Rock could say that nowadays. That's a little politically incorrect humor, but it's a great point. If you fight back against the police, then you don't know what's going to happen. Again, the police are trained; they are professionals, and when you get pulled over, they know what they need to do, but if you fight back, then all bets are off. And I don't care what color you are. So anyway, Jake, listening to us on the talk station from North Carolina, says, Todd, I got to defend that officer in Minnesota. I've heard from police friends that this can happen sometimes. What, forgetting that your taser's a gun? I mean, what? He says it can happen sometimes if you're newly issued the taser or shortly after training. You're used to reaching for your weapon, which is often on one side of your body, And in the situation, they could have instinctively reached for that as the muscle memory, reaching for a taser on the other side of their body, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, okay. But the problem is, if you're not trained well enough, you don't need to be out there on the streets with one or the other. Jeez, Alou. But I will say this. This is all on the suspect. Had he complied with the officers, he would be alive. And that's the end of the story for me. All right, I got to go to this piece that Gray sent me from Stanford University. Apparently, they do something. Grace, you were at the University of Memphis.
Yes.
And did you live on campus or off campus?
I lived on campus in a dorm for 2 years.
I see. All right. Well, over at Stanford University, they do these dorm themes. So yeah. I guess what is to build community? And
yeah. So like each floor in the dorm would have a different theme to it.
I see.
And there's like a common area people would hang out and they'd have it all decorated in the theme.
So over at Stanford University, one of the dormitory floors was decorated like Harry Potter, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
That's way cooler than mine. Mine was Pac-Man themed, and we had like the little ghosts on our doors that would have like our name on it. And they had the name that I don't even go by on my, you know, little sticker. So that was annoying.
So it was Pac-Man and not Miss Pac-Man?
No. No, Todd. I'm Sarah Grace. So it had Sarah Baker instead of Grace Baker.
Oh, I see.
So people would call me Sarah, and I'd be like, no, that's not my name. So what I did is I went up to it, and I crossed out the Sarah and put Grace.
I love it. Well, two good biblical names.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, so over at Stanford, they have this this dorm floor decorated with Harry Potter stuff. And I guess, what is it? They have the, what do they call them? The Muggles? Or
yeah.
Okay, they got the Muggles.
They got the Muggles and the Wizards.
And the little stick they wave around, the wand.
Yes.
All right. And what is it? The Quidditch.
The Quidditch. The golden.
Is that the one snitch where they fly around on their little broomsticks?
Yep. And they try to catch the golden snitch.
I see. Side story. I forget where I was, but it was at an Ivy League school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was up there doing a story, and I came across a bunch of people running around with broomsticks between yeah their legs.
Yeah.
And I asked someone, I'm like, what's wrong with those people? I didn't know.
You thought finals had taken them over the edge, maybe?
Or special needs. I didn't know. I mean, what's wrong with these people? Why are they running around with broomsticks between their legs? And I didn't realize that's a thing on college campuses.
Yeah, I have heard of that. It wasn't at Memphis, but I have heard it, I think, in Texas. They'll, like, do whole, like, tournaments, I think.
We don't judge.
No. So, wait, have you never even seen the Harry Potter movies?
Periodically, but I haven't seen, like, all the way through.
Oh, okay. Well, I would love it if my dorm was Harry Potter themed. That would be very cool.
You know who would be on a Quidditch team? It's Avery.
Oh, duh.
If Liberty University had a Quidditch team, Avery would be on the team.
Oh, of course he would be. He'd be the captain.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. So anyway, Stanford's very upset. It turns out that J.K. Rowling has been speaking out against transgenderism.
Oh, so saying that a girl is a girl and a boy is a boy.
Yes, that's what she said, and that's what got her in trouble.
Mm.
So anyway, the Stanford Review has done a story, and a staffer saw the Harry Potter-themed floor and became incredibly offended and triggered and alleged that J.K. Rowling is transphobic, she's an anti-Semite, and she's racist. So the staffer posted this statement. We want to acknowledge that J.K. Rowling has made many transphobic, anti-Semitic, and racist statements over the past year.
Oh, my.
Okay, well, what are they? Because
they don't tell you.
No, they don't tell you. They just make it. It's like
the blanket statement.
Exactly. Her beliefs do not reflect our values as a house, and we want to make it clear that we do not tolerate comments like hers in this dorm. Our theme is intended to make this space safe and fun for you.
I don't think they're fun at all.
Jeez, look.
They're fun squashers.
In June, Rowling, this is from the Daily Wire. In June, J.K. Rowling came under fire from left-wing activists after she mocked an article that called women people who menstruate. Well, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong. Jeez, alert. Left-wing activist denounced Rowling as transphobic, as a transphobe, and said her comments were considered misinformation. So what?
Well.
Okay. So great. So she's dealing with science deniers. Anyway, these activists are going bonkers over here. Do not read J.K. Rowling's transphobia manifesto. So it's a manifesto now.
Well, wow. No, she's published like an essay about this topic after coming under fire for it.
Every line is misinformation, fear-mongering, misgendering. Oh, you can't do that.
Oh.
Othering. What is othering? What is that?
I don't know. I've never heard that before. That's a new one.
All right, we got to look that up. Ignorance, far-right language, dog whistles, and pure hate. It's not just ugly. This is hate.
Okay, I have the definition. Viewing or treating a person or a group of people as intrinsically different from an alien to oneself. That's othering.
This is nuts.
I just looked it up. It's a philosophy.
Unbelievable. Anyway, well, hang in there, J.K. Rowling. And I know she's a lib.
Can I just say, though, she's standing up for herself far better than I've seen a lot of right-wing people.
Got to. And you're right. You know what? You are right about that.
I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, honestly, like, because when people came after her, she published this essay and was like, here you go. Here's more facts. Boom. Here's a whole essay about it. Instead of saying, I'm sorry. I didn't mean what I said.
I'm telling you, Grace, it's a problem in the right on the right side of the table here.
Yeah.
Conservatives, by and large, just don't know how to stand up for themselves.
No.
We're trying to, and that's what we try to do in this program, folks. We try to educate you and try to let you know that, you know what, you're not in this by yourself. You got people who are going to stand alongside, but you've got to do the work. One of the things that aggravates me, we will come out here and defend people, and then those same people will turn around and apologize. And what's the point?
I mean, here's my thing. Either say something and stick to your guns, or don't say anything at all. Like these athletes, like if you're going to come out here and say something that's against the left side of the aisle, then you better stick to it or just don't even say anything. What's the point?
Exactly. So all I can say, you know, to you Harry Potter fans, live long and prosper.
I think you've got the wrong fandom there, Todd.
Okay. I'm talking about. What about... Jeez, Alou. May the force be with you.
Nope, wrong. Oh, Avery would be having a fit if he wasn't. He's doing homework right now.
With great powers come great responsibility. No, that's
still not right.
I know that's not it. All right, I'll figure it out. Anyway.
Broomsticks.
Brooms.
There you go.
Stop it. Folks, be safe, especially if you live in Minneapolis and the suburbs. Board up. If you own a business, go ahead and board up the windows. Better safe than sorry. And do what you got to do. Take care of yourself out there. All right. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.